scripture reading for this evening will be coming from John chapter 13, verses 34 through 35. Again, that's John chapter 13, 34 through 35. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another.
Lori and I went on a little trip to the coast to escape the heat. We got back and it's still hot, so it was only a day, but it's nice to be back. It's nice to share the word of God with you. It's nice to be amongst family, among people that love me, among people that share their lives with me. I want to kind of talk about that tonight, and we're going to start in Hosea 6. Hosea 6, starting in verse 1, it says, "Come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn us that he may heal us. He has struck us down, and he will build us up. After 2 days, he will receive us. On the third day, he will raise us up, that we may live before him. Let us know, let us press on to know the Lord. His going out is as sure as the dawn, and his coming, he will come to us as the showers, as the spring rains that water the earth." As you go through Hosea, you notice in chapters 4, chapters 5, there's going to be this punishment that's going to happen to Israel. It's going to happen to Judah also. Here in 6, we see Hosea wanting to get his fellow Jews back to the Lord. He's calling them back to the Lord. He knows that they're going to be torn down. He knows that they're going to be built back up so that they can live with their God. I think these three verses also point towards Christ. When we see Christ come to his people, he is also torn down, tearing them down. He is also built up in 3 days so that they can be with him, so that they can be with their God. You know, this really is Christ's ultimate goal. If you look at Luke 19 and verse 10, it says, "The Son of Man has come to seek and save the lost." In Matthew 9, 35 through 38, Jesus has been going around, he's been preaching, he's been teaching, healing the sick, and he sees these people that he's helping, and he sees a harassed and helpless people. He sees a sheep without a shepherd. And so he sends people out to get them, to bring them to him, so that they can be his people. In Matthew 23, 37 through 39, Jesus is in the temple. It's his last days. All of the important Jews are there, the priests, the scribes, the Jewish leaders. And Jesus says to them, "Jerusalem, you stoned the prophets. You killed the people that were sent to you. But what I wanted to do was gather your children to me, to protect them like a hen protects her chicks." The Jews needed Christ, but they rejected Christ. Hosea actually tells us exactly what the issue was with the Jews. If you go back into Hosea 6, starting in verse 4, it says, "What shall I do then with you, O Ephraim? What shall I do with you, O Judah? Your love is like a morning cloud, like the dew that goes early away. Therefore, I have hewn them by the prophets. I have slain them by the words of their mouth. And my judgment goes forth as the light. For I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings." Ephraim, or Israel, and Judah's issue is that their love is like fog in the morning. It's like dew on the ground. As soon as the sun comes up and it gets a little hot, that burns off and it goes away. If you read the first part of Hosea, you see that God gives Hosea this kind of object lesson, or really he makes Hosea into an object lesson. He has Hosea marry a harlot, marry Gomer, who is not faithful. She goes out to other people all the time, just like Israel, just like Judah, going around seeking what they can get, seeking something other than what they should be faithful to, what they should put their love in. Running off to do whatever they want, to do even violence to their own people. The Jewish people in Christ's time had the same problem. Jesus actually quotes verse 6 to some of the Pharisees in Matthew 9 and verse 13. Jesus has just called Matthew to follow him, and he sat down to have a meal with a bunch of rabble, a bunch of sinners and tax collectors. The Pharisees see this, and then they say this, and starting in verse 11, it says, "And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, 'Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?' But when he heard it, he said, 'Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go learn what it means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I came not to call the righteous, but for sinners.'" When Jesus says, "I desire mercy and not sacrifice," he's quoting Hosea 6. Now, my version says steadfast love instead of mercy. That's a Masoretic text thing. What Jesus is quoting is out of Septuagint. Septuagint uses mercy in these verses. And they're really the same thing. If you have a steadfast love for somebody, you're going to give them mercy. When you show mercy to somebody, you're showing them a steadfast love. The problem is that these men, these Pharisees, are calling Jesus' judgment into question. They're seeing these men for really what they are, sinners and tax collectors. But the problem is their view of them makes them better, makes the Pharisee himself somehow more righteous than these men. They're not showing love. They're showing judgment. They're showing disrespect, showing maybe even a little hatred. These Pharisees' love has dried up like that morning dew, or those clouds in the morning have burned off. Look with me, 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, starting in verse 20, says, "If anyone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him: whoever loves God must also love his brothers." We cannot love God unless we love our brothers. If these Pharisees were so concerned with the sins of their brothers, with the fact that they were tax collectors for the Roman government, they should have gone to them, just like Hosea went to his Jews in his time and pleaded with him to come back to the Lord. That's not what they did. They just looked down their noses at them and thought themselves better. There was no love for their brothers, so there could be no love for their God. Turn with me back to Hosea. Hosea 6, starting in verse 7, says, "But like Adam, they transgressed the covenant, and they dealt falselessly with me. Gilead is a city of evildoers, tracked with blood. As robbers lie in wait for a man, so priests band together, and they murder on the way to Shechem. They commit villainy. And in the house of Israel, I have seen horrible things. Ephraim's whoredom is there. Israel is defiled." It Israel, Judah, they followed after Adam. They have had, should have been able to have a relationship with God, but they have dealt falsely with him. Gilead is filled with blood. Israel's priests are banding together to do murder. It says they're doing murder on the way to Shechem. Now, Shechem is where Mount Gilboa is. This is where the northern 10 tribes worship God. This is where those priests go to do their work. But they're murdering along the way. Israel's a really messed up place. But Jesus tells a parable that sounds an awful lot like it. It's in Luke 10, starting in verse 25 through 37. It's the parable of the Good Samaritan. A man was traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho. Some robbers came and they beat him within an inch of his life and left him for dead. Along comes a Levite. He sees the man laying there in pain and agony, and he crosses the road, walks along his way to Jerusalem. The priest comes by, sees the man laying there in agony, bleeding. He too passes by. Samaritan comes, sees the man, he gets down off of his horse, he takes care of the man, he bandages his wounds, he puts oil on his wounds, takes him to a hotel, pays his way. He loves this man. He shows him unconditional love. He shows him mercy. Shows him that steadfast love that we've been talking about. He's clearly the hero in the story. But I want you to look at the other guys in the story and really think about who they are and their place in that story. You got robbers that beat the man and leave him for dead. And then you have this priest and this Levi that come up on this guy, and they have a law that says you can't touch any bloodied man, you can't touch a dead thing, or you'll become unclean. And so they cross the road and they go about their business. They didn't show steadfast love for this man. They didn't show mercy to this man. What did they show? It's a lot like what the robbers did. They're just as bad as the robbers. They left him for dead, just like the robbers did. In Romans 3:23, it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." We all have followed after Adam. We have all dealt falsely with God. Every human being on this planet is in the same boat. We have no hope without God. We know this. We know that with God, we can have forgiveness. But we also know that the wages of sin are death. When we see people out in the world, we have to remember what it is to show mercy, to show steadfast love. In Romans 5, Romans 5, starting in verse 12, it says, "Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgressions of Adam, who was a type of the one that who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass, for if many died through one man's trespass, much more have by the grace of God and the free gift by the by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of the one man's sin. For the judgment following the trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following the many trespasses brought justification. For if because one man's trespass death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Sin entered the world through Adam. We know the consequences of sin. We should be appealing to everyone around us to come to Christ. He came to die for us. He came to show us mercy. He came to show us what steadfast love really is. He wants to be our shepherd. He wants to be our protector. And he will be if we return to him. If we believe in him, if we are baptized, if we walk in steadfast love, if we walk in mercy, he will be there for us to be our protector, to be our shepherd, and to show us love. He will be there for us. Back in Hosea 6, the last verse of the chapter, it says, "For you also, Judah, a harvest is appointed when I restore the fortunes of my people." There is going to be a judgment. In about 70 years from Hosea, Israel is going to go away into captivity. They're never really going to come back. They kind of become the Samaritans, but they don't really have much to do with being Jews anymore. About 100 or so years after that, Judah also will go away into captivity. But they will come out. They will rebuild their temple. Christ will be born. But they will have no love for him. They will plot and they will kill him. But before they do that, Jesus makes a judgment on them. And you probably haven't noticed this before. Maybe you have. In Matthew 12, starting in verse 18, Jesus is going into the city, probably for one of the last times, and he sees this fig tree. So he goes over to this fig tree, he's hungry, he wants something from it, and there's nothing there. Nothing for him to eat. So he curses the tree, and it withers and it vanishes, goes away. We overlook this object lesson sometimes. But Jesus, in the next few chapters, goes into the temple. He's going to try to straighten out his people one last time. They aren't producing fruit. They're just like that tree. And so Jesus curses the tree. He curses Jerusalem. Matthew 21, 43, he says that he's going to take the kingdom away from the Jews and give it to another nation. In Matthew 24, Jesus starts talking about the destruction of the temple. It was destroyed. AD 70, wiped off the face of the earth, flat to the ground. He took away the kingdom from the Jews. And people like Paul, they took the Lord's salvation to the Gentiles. They took God's steadfast love to the Gentiles, to people like us. They took the very thing from the Jewish people that they had been looking for so long, and he gave it to somebody else so that they could produce fruit, so that they could show God's steadfast love, his mercy to the rest of the world. Kind of a heavy consequence for letting your love dry up like dew. So are we doing it? We are the Gentiles that steadfast love was taken to. As we go about our daily lives, are we actually showing the steadfast love of God to the people around us? Are we showing the mercy that God wants us to have? He wants us to show that to this world more than anything else. He wants his love shown to the people around us. He showed us how to do it. He showed us in his son how to do this. When Christ came to this earth, we were enemies. Christ gave his life for those enemies. He died for us to reconcile us back to God. As we read through the Bible, we see God appealing to us over and over again to come back to him. He knows we're tired. He knows it's hard to live here. He knows that we're weak, but he wants to protect us. He wants us to be right with him. He wants to relieve us of our troubles. He wants to love us, and he wants us to love the people around us. Not just our families, not just those in the church, not just our neighbors, not just our brothers. He wants us to love our enemies. He wants us to show steadfast love to the entire world. He wants us to show mercy to this entire world. If you are not, if you're out in the world and you see someone on the corner and you decide, I don't want to deal with that, I'm going to just walk to the other side. Or if when you look out in the world and all you see is people that are struggling with sin, we've got to fix that. Because that's not the solution. We have to show steadfast love. We have to show mercy. If you need help with this, that is what the church is for. Please come forward. We will pray with you. And if you need to be baptized, also come forward as we stand and sing. Water is ready. The Lord wants you in his family. Please come forward as we stand and sing.